Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I remember a few years ago I was privileged to be part of a small group of what were called the leading apostles from around the world. Very humble guys and men that were greatly used of God. And I was contemplating the other day about us planting this new church in Worthing, and recalled that one of those other apostles said that in his ministry they'd planted 5,000 churches in 5 years. And you think of what is going into the planting of this one church. How can one guy be responsible? I mean, obviously it's a knock-on effect, all those that are part of his work, but how can you see that kind of fruitfulness? And the answer to that is, of course, it has to be the Holy Spirit. It has, therefore, to be the anointing. But we have the anointing. You have the anointing of the Holy One, and that anointing remains, abides, says John. And yet, despite the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you see such different outcomes in different places and in different people. I'm not wanting to compare ourselves with that other situation because, you know, the situation was different. What God was doing was obviously different from what he's doing amongst us. But it just throws this sort of contrast into light, really. So we can understand something about how anointing works. Because we can't say, well, it's just anointing. Because if that was the case, then you'd see similar results everywhere. The question is, what releases the anointing that God has given us so that we see the fruit that is possible from that anointing? What has to go with the anointing in order to see the power of God doing whatever needs to do? We're anointed to heal the sick, for example. It's part of the commission that we have as God's children. It's a command from Jesus, but God has anointed us to do that. Why don't more people see others healed when they pray for them? We realize it's not just the anointing. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Not according to your anointing, it will be done to you. So faith is the key to seeing whatever the anointing contains being released into our lives. Now, we have to understand anointing at two levels. There's, if you like, the general anointing of the Holy Spirit that is upon every believer who has been born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. There is only one Spirit, one Holy Spirit. So we all have received that one Holy Spirit. And there's certain things, therefore, the Scripture says that we have all received. At the same time, it would appear that God has anointed different people for different ministries. For example, what are often called the fivefold ministries are in effect different anointings. The anointing of the apostle is different from the anointing on the prophet, which is different from the anointing on the evangelist, which is different from the anointing on the pastor, which is different from the anointing on a teacher. So is the Spirit that God has given to those five ministry gifts, is the Spirit different? No, the Spirit isn't different, but the faith is different. So there's really five different, I wouldn't say degrees of faith, but types of faith, ways in which faith is expressed, which therefore releases the Holy Spirit or the anointing of the Holy Spirit in a particular way in that person's life. And of course, there are other ministries too, the helper, the healer, the administrator, and so on and so on. So Jesus says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the power of the Spirit is common to every believer who has received the Holy Spirit. The scripture also says that God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So love is also part of that anointing of the Holy Spirit that every believer has received. But the way in which that power is manifested will be dependent upon the faith of the individual. And so somebody with who in Scripture would be called a healer is not the only one who can heal, because anybody with the power of the Holy Spirit can be used by God to heal. But he has the faith that God has inspired in him, because Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He has the faith to believe that he will be a channel of God's healing grace to others in a continuous way. So what happens is he develops a ministry of healing. Now you can say, well, that's the particular call of God, and therefore God has given that particular faith so that he can be used by God in that particular way. And that's fine. So long as we don't think, well, they're the only kind of people that can heal. It's like with prophecies. There are very few genuine prophets around, but anybody can prophesy if they have received the Holy Spirit. But that's different from having the ministry of a prophet. There are more false prophets than true prophets around, sadly. Or people who think they're prophets but are not. Just as there are more people who think they're apostles but are not. And pastors that are not, and so on. The genuine article is always where the person in whatever ministry they're called to is actually flowing in the power of the Spirit. But they have that particular faith to see the Spirit use them in a particular way to fulfill the call of God on their lives. So the call and the faith and the anointing, they all go together. They all interact. You can't really talk significantly of one without touching the others. So whatever God has called us to do, even if we don't want to categorize it into, you know, just one of those particular ministries, but whatever God has called us to do can only be effective if it's done in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So no matter what you do today, its effectiveness is dependent upon the anointing with which you do it. And the anointing with which you do it is dependent upon your faith. which in turn is dependent upon your relationship with the Lord today. There's a great scripture in Job. Listen to this. If you open your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him in prayer, if you turn away from the sins you have been committing and allow nothing ungodly in your house, then surely you can look to the Lord without shame. You can be confident and not fear the outcome. Then you will forget your troubles. They will be as water that has already passed under the bridge. Then your life will be filled with light brighter than the noonday sun, and your darkness will give way to a new dawn. You will feel secure, for now you have hope. No matter what goes on around you, you can rest in safety. When you lie down, you will not be in fear of anyone. Instead, many will look to you for favor. It's from Job 11 in the Truth Version. I mean, tremendous promises. But they're the outworking of the obedience of faith. If you do these things, if you open your heart, if you stretch out your hands in prayer and turn away from sin and so on, then the promise of the outcome. In other words, for us as believers, we have the anointing and we have every blessing that is in the feast. All those blessings that we've confessed over our lives are true for us. Now, how that's all part of the anointing, if you like. God has anointed us to live in the feast. Now, how effectively we do that day by day is dependent upon our faith, which is dependent upon the way in which we relate to the Lord day by day, the way in which we depend upon him, are submitted to him, are praying to him, are expectant of what he will do in our lives day by day. The problem for many Christians is that they're not challenged enough. See, let me ask you this question. What are you likely to do today that is going to challenge you? What are you going to have to do today that you've never done before, never trusted God before in that way? In other words, what are you going to do today that needs faith, because without faith it won't happen? Now, you see, when we're in a challenging position like that, we call on our resources of faith. We realize that just walking as we normally do isn't going to meet the need. But does that mean the way we normally walk is less than that walk of faith? You understanding what I'm saying? In other words, when there's no challenge, we don't see the need of faith. So we easily operate in our own strength, in our own way. Now, God is talking to us a lot about love. Very easy, therefore, by the same principle, just relate as we normally relate, without really drawing on the resources of love that God has put within us, so that we love with that same love with which he's loved us, so that that supernatural, that superhuman love, that spiritual love pours out of us rather than just the natural love. You see, with the anointing, what we have within us is so much greater than what we're using every day. And we could say, on the one hand, well, we don't need to use it all the time. Or we could say, on the other hand, we haven't got used to using it every day in the way that we could and perhaps should. So from all this, we see that although we have the anointing, we can still choose to live on a number of different levels. And whichever level we live on is dependent upon our faith, how much we're trusting in the anointing rather than just trusting in our ability to do what we have to do because we've always been able to do what we have to do and there's no particular challenge in it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm blessed in that I have a ministry where you're in a place pretty continually of challenge. That, you know, when I go off out somewhere, things are going to happen. Lives have got to be changed. People have got to be healed. And so on. And I can't do that. Only God can do those things. But what has to be employed is the anointing in order that those things will happen. So my faith personally has to be, right, I must trust in God to do those things that only God will do. But, you know, I'm not speaking at meetings all the time. I'm doing other things in between all the mundane things that we all have to do. So the question arises for all of us, well, how is the anointing employed or just neglected when we're doing those other mundane things? The point being this, is it possible to have the anointing but not really be flowing in the anointing? Because we're not exercising our faith in the anointing. And if that's the case, how much more will God do through us if we trust in the anointing, even in these mundane things? What will the fruit be compared to what it is if we employ the anointing more? Now, what that scripture from Job reminds us of is, well, all that is dependent upon the prayer. Because we express our faith first in praying and then in speaking over the situations in which we're placed and then depending upon the Holy Spirit to enable us to do whatever it is we have to do in all of those particular situations. Now, let me just give you a simple example to explain what I mean. We'll soon be having a new group of students here, and one of the things that they'll be doing before they've been here very long is going into the detention center and so on and speaking and ministering there. That's a new thing. For most of them, they would never have done anything like that before. One thing is absolutely guaranteed. Before they go, they will pray like they've never prayed before. Because they're being challenged. And here is a challenge And Lord, I can't do it myself. Only you can do it. So they pray. Now, do we pray over the mundane things that we're doing all the time? Because our attitude is, Lord, I need you to be at work in me today. Even though what I'm doing might not seem challenging, might not seem exciting, yet you live within me and I want you to be expressing your life, your love, your power through what I do today because I'm depending upon you. Is this making sense? It must be possible to do that, mustn't it? And that's the difference, really, between people living in the Spirit and just possessing the Spirit. And God's call upon us and upon all his children is to live in the Spirit. Not just to wait for a challenge which will throw us into dependence upon God, but recognizing, well, every day I'm dependent upon him. And the more I depend upon him, the greater the quality of what I do, the more effective, the more fruitful, the more he will be glorified, even in the mundane things. So we know how to do certain things. We know there's all kinds of things we can do in establishing the new congregation in these coming weeks. But actually the effectiveness of that is going to be depend upon how much trust there is in the anointing, which is another way of saying how the anointing is going to be employed. Rather than just saying, well, if we pray and if we do some outreach and if we do this and if we do that and if we do the other, and then we will plant a successful church. No, the success of the church will be dependent upon the anointing. Now, the anointing moves you to action, but it moves you to action of dependence upon him, not just doing the things that you know can be done. Now, the only way that this really works in practice is by letting the Holy Spirit be in control. Even in the everyday mundane things that we do. Every day, he wants to be in control. We don't just pass the control over to him when we're faced with a challenge which is new and that we've never had to face before. If Jesus is Lord, then he wants to be in control all the time. He wants to be Lord all the time, not just when we're faced with a challenge where we recognize if he isn't Lord, we're going to sink. So, if the Holy Spirit is therefore going to be in control, in charge, then we have to be sensitive, don't we, to what the Holy Spirit is saying every day and responsive to what he's saying. What does the scripture say about prayer, for example? Because every day we pray. Well, the scripture says you don't know how to pray as you ought. Scripture also says pray at all times in the Spirit. That doesn't mean you speak in tongues all the time. It just means that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding your prayer. So that raises the question, okay, we pray every day, go away, I should have turned you off. That raises the question, okay, I pray every day, how dependent am I on the Spirit when I pray? In other words, am I using the anointing when I pray, or am I just praying? Because I know how to pray. But the scripture says you don't know how to pray as you ought. You may think you do, but you don't. Because the Spirit always knows more than you do about the situation, about you, about what's happening, about what's going to happen in your life. So it's like, just with a simple subject like prayer, which we're all engaged in every day, the Lord says, okay, trust the Holy Spirit when you pray. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Use the anointing. Because if you pray with the anointing, the effectiveness of your prayer is going to be so much greater. That actually the Holy Spirit will enable you to pray as you ought. And you see, this is a good example of, we would ask the Holy Spirit for his help when we're doing something we've never done before and don't know how to do. But we're not so good at asking for his help when we're doing something that we think we know how to do and that we do regularly. Hello? And yet, the anointing is there. So, even when there is challenge put before us, it isn't that we need a fresh anointing from God. Yesterday, I had to go to hospital to pray for someone. And, you know, before I went, I was having a time of prayer with the Lord, not as long as I intended. And I was, you know, because I'd intended to have a really good time of prayer before I went, and all kinds of things happened which got in the way of that. But actually, when I started to pray, the Lord said, you don't need a long time. You have the anointing. You have the commission. You have my word. You have the faith. Just go in my name. But actually, just stopping to hear that, it was important, because in whatever you're doing, faith comes from hearing. So it was just God saying, well, you don't need a long time of prayer. You know what you have to do. You've got the anointing. You know my will and purpose in the situation. Just go and get on with it, basically. But even hearing that from God gives you the confidence of faith when you're in the situation. You know you're on a winner, in other words, before you even start. So it isn't necessarily that, you know, we have to spend hours and hours and hours. It's just spending those moments during the course of the day. I mean, I'd prayed about the situation earlier in the morning, but, you know, just before I actually went to the hospital, I just wanted time with the Lord. And actually that time ended up by being about 5 minutes. But that's all that was needed. Because what the important thing is that I wasn't going because I knew what to do, but I was going dependent upon him, having heard from him And that's what encourages your faith and gives you the confidence to actually go and do something with authority. So I like the anointing. Because today, God has anointed you to do what you have to do today. But you can depend upon that anointing, or ignore it, or perhaps just take it for granted. It's always a bit dangerous, isn't it, to take God for granted. It isn't that we've got to be, you know, like those people that never do anything without saying a prayer first. You know, some people, I get driven around a lot, especially when I'm off in ministry, and some people, you know, never turn the engine on until they've prayed. Well, if that's their particular faith, that they need to pray to believe they're going to get to their destination every time they drive a car, that's fine with me. I'll say amen to their prayer. Personally, when I get in the car, I don't pray a prayer every time. You might, I don't. But I have the faith that God is watching over me, caring for me, protecting me, guiding me, and so on. There will be certain times when I will pray. But can you hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying that we've got to become those freaks who, you know, is it all right to stand up, Lord? Is it all right to go and do the washing up now? And all this kind of thing. I mean, there are people that like that. That's not faith, that's fear. And you see, that's the thing. What if somebody is praying, what is, when they get in the car, what is behind it? If it's faith, if it's dependence upon God, that's fine. But if they're praying out of fear, that if they don't pray, something terrible is going to happen, that's fear, that's not faith. It becomes almost, a fetish, really, that I must pray, otherwise something terrible is going to happen. That's not faith. Our expectation is that good things are going to happen every day, that we're living in the grace of God, we're living in the goodness of God. Amen? But the important thing is that we're living in dependence upon God. Now, if you express that dependence by praying every time you switch, or before you switch the engine on, that's fine. If you've got the kind of faith where you're living in that dependence without necessarily needing to say that prayer at that time, because you're living in dependence upon the goodness and the love and the protection of God all the time, that's fine. It's faith being expressed in different ways. But the point is that faith is being expressed. That you're not just taking God for granted, you're not taking circumstances for granted. You are living by faith. Different people will express that faith in different ways. But the faith is there, the dependence is there, the dependence upon the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with you, to keep you, to protect you, to warn you. It's living in that awareness of God, living open to being able to hear God say to you whatever he needs to say, to direct you in whatever ways he needs to direct you. It's having a relationship with the Holy Spirit where he becomes a real part, an integral part of what is going on all the time. So that we are dependent upon him, we are involving him, even in the mundane, he is there because we're trusting him. Doesn't mean we're stopping every 5 minutes and praying, you know, shall I go to this website or that website or something like that. But we just believe and trust that the anointing of God will lead us in the way that he needs to today and every day, even in the mundane things. That we're depending upon him, we're depending upon the anointing. We're not just going through the motions and depending upon ourselves. So when it comes to prayer, yes, I'm depending upon the Holy Spirit. When it comes to worship, If I worship in spirit and truth, then I'm depending upon the Holy Spirit to lead me and to enable my worship to really be glorifying to the Lord. Because we know we can worship without that dependence on the Holy Spirit. We can just sing the songs and go through the motions. It's possible, isn't it? Hello? Now, the only other thing I want to say this morning is God is talking to us a lot about love. This is a season in which he's bringing this particularly into focus, our love for him and love for one another, loving others as he has loved us. But you see, that love is part of the anointing. And our capacity, our ability, if you like, to love others is dependent really upon trusting in that anointing. Because if you don't, you will miss a lot of opportunities to love. Because in the natural, it wouldn't occur to you to do whatever, or you wouldn't desire to do whatever needs to be done. But that dependence upon the anointing means that the compassion of Jesus is welling up within you. And when that is the case, when something happens that in the natural you wouldn't want to do, you will still do it. Because the love of Christ compels us. That's dependence upon the anointing. You don't feel actually that you've got any option. I mean, you do. You could say no, you could disobey the Lord. But so compelling is this love that the Holy Spirit releases in you that you just have to do whatever he's calling you to do. And that's how God gets glorified in our lives. Let me put it this way. God does not work out his plan for your life day by day. In other words, when early this morning you had your prayer time with the Lord and listened to what he was saying to you for today, God was not constructing a plan for your life today. He wasn't thinking, well, what am I going to do with this one today? He wasn't coming to some decision as to what he was going to do with you today. Even before the creation of the world, God established his plan for your life. And he gave you the Holy Spirit to lead you through that plan or that purpose, to enable and equip you for that day by day. So if you like, God's plan for you today is the same plan as he had for you yesterday, as he had for you last year, as he will have for you next year. It's just that today you're in a slightly different place in that plan than you were yesterday, but the plan hasn't changed. And you might not be aware of all the intricacies of that plan or where that plan is going to lead you, what you are going to be doing this time next year. But the Holy Spirit, who is leading you today, does know what you'll be doing this time next year. Because he is the eternal Spirit of God. So He knows that what he is leading you through today is going to lead to the outworking of his purpose tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, for the next few years, so on. For some of you, the next many years. But the point is that to pursue that path, we therefore have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. He knows what he's doing, even when we don't. And we know that if we trust him today, we are actually fulfilling that part of the plan that God has for us today. If we take the initiative away from the Holy Spirit, we may be doing all kinds of things that we consider good, but we're not necessarily fulfilling that plan. So most people, instead of sort of going in a straight line like this, they're going all over the place like this, really. And by the grace of God, we still get there. But there's lots of, wandering into people's own ways and not just going straight on straight dependence upon the Holy Spirit. So God has anointed us. He's anointed us for this. Now, when you deviate from that, the anointing is there, but you're not flowing in the anointing, not using the anointing. Can you understand me? So you can actually be walking like this in parallel. God isn't sort of leaving you behind. It's just that what you're doing isn't very anointed. And then you come back into dependence upon the Holy Spirit and you think, wow, look what God's doing now. And he's saying, yeah, but look what I could have done for the last week. If only you'd lived in the last week in dependence upon me. Are we getting this? So, praise God, he will bring us to the fulfillment. But what we want to do is to be most fruitful, most effective on the way, to bear much fruit for the glory of the Lord. So, praise God for the anointing. Praise God for the faith that we can exercise in the anointing. In God, therefore in the Holy Spirit, therefore trusting that the anointing that God has given us is going to enable us. Not walking like freaks, not daring to do anything without a prayer, but knowing my dependence and my trust is in God today to enable me to do today what he has called me to do today. So that two things are happening. I'm doing what he wants, but I'm doing it with the right attitude, the right mindset. Now, this is where the love comes in. Because everything is to be done in love. So here is God's purpose for me. The Holy Spirit is going to lead me in that purpose. I'm going to have the faith to trust that he will enable the fulfilling of that purpose. That faith will release the power of the anointing in my life to do what I have to do today. However, I am not an isolated, independent human being just pursuing my course with God. I'm surrounded by other people. And yes, I have to be focused on what I'm doing, but I have to love and live at one and in unity and consideration with all those who are around me, with all those whose life, my life, will touch during the course of the day. So here is the obedience of faith, but at the same time, here is the obedience of love, to love those who are around me. Now, sometimes it seems that we get into a situation of conflict where you're wanting to do what you know God is calling you to do, but the demands of love intervene. And then you have to make a decision. Now, do I stop what I'm needing to do in order to love, or do I just keep focused on what I'm doing? There's only one answer to that question. You stop what you're doing and you love. Otherwise, what you do will be without love and will therefore not really be glorifying to the Lord. Now, why do I say this? Because this is the way Jesus operated. We're talking at the leaders' conference about, you know, the job of pastors is to meet need and to make disciples. Jesus lived with those two things going on in his ministry. And there were times, weren't there? Often, really, when he was wanting to spend time with the disciples, to train them up, to equip them. This was, if you like, the purpose that he was walking in. But then all these other people kept coming in. Heal me. Help me, save me. What did he do? He stopped and loved them and ministered to them and met their needs. Then he got back to what he wanted to do, whether it was praying, okay? If his prayer was interrupted, he'd pray all night. But he had been interrupted by love. If the crowds had prevented him from having the time with the disciples, he would seek to get away. And he would go, you know, off the beaten track. The crowds often followed him. Or sometimes, like, you know, he went secretly to Tyre, and the woman, the Syrophoenician woman with the daughter, demonically possessed daughter, discovered where he was. And, you know, that's the cost of fame, isn't it? Boom, we found him. And yet, Jesus stopped, ministered to her need. Why? Because the only debt outstanding that we have is the debt to love. So, Actually, because God is in charge, those demands of love are not an intrusion to the purpose of God. They're part of the purpose of God. And he knows that the anointing has given us the capacity to stop and love and still fulfill our objective in obedience to the Spirit. So you see, everything that he's doing amongst us and with us at present is dependent upon this anointing and faith working through love. I'll just finish with another scripture from Numbers. You remember Caleb? was one of the two that when he went to spy out the land, he had faith. But he also had faith that when they did go into the land, he claimed his inheritance. Amen? And the feast is our inheritance. Well, just listen to this. This is from Numbers 14, 24. But because my servant Caleb has a believing spirit and obeys me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land that he spied out and will give to him and his descendants his inheritance. You see, when you take hold of your inheritance, your descendants will also be blessed by the inheritance. Many years ago, I first took hold of my inheritance. So my son and his children are all blessed by the inheritance, by the feast, as you can see for yourself. And the same would be true for you, for your children and your children's children. So your faith is affecting the generations that succeed you. Amen. Your children are a reflection of that faith. Of course, it's a bit different if our children have grown up and so on before we became believers. But it's great that when we're believers and we have children, look at the inheritance that they're going to be brought up with. Wonderful. So as we continue in the blessing, depending upon the anointing, walking by faith, in love, that's exactly what our kids will do. As we enjoy the feast, they will also enjoy the feast. And they'll become godly men and women. Which everybody said, praise the Lord. Come on, let's stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now let's first of all thank him for the anointing. You have the anointing of the Holy One, and that anointing abides, it remains. So thank him now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Poparazata paria. Just thank the Lord that he is the author and perfecter of your faith. That as your faith operates, so the anointing operates. That the two work together. Hallelujah. So thank the Lord that today you walk by faith. Even in the mundane things, even in the things that, aren't particularly exciting, aren't particularly challenging, the everyday things, yet at heart there is that dependence upon the Lord. He's going to enable you. He's going to equip you. It's going to be done in the best possible way for his glory, through his enabling, not just through your natural ability. Come on, thank the Lord for that. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And thank the Lord that when those, sometimes they seem like intrusions into what you're doing come, but actually They're the demands of love. Thank the Lord that you have that capacity to stop what you're doing and to love, to bless, to give, to serve. We're not talking about people that are just trying to distract us, but people that God is putting before us because we need to reach out to them in love in whatever way. So just thank the Lord. Yes, you have that love that has been poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. That love will compel you. It still won't prevent the purpose that you were pursuing before, but you realize, oh, this is part of the purpose. Just to stop and love this brother, to love this sister, to love this child of God, or to this person in need, whatever it is. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your Lord, that it's going to be faith working through love. That's the only thing that counts. And thank the Lord that this is what it is to live in the feast. To be dependent upon all the great and wonderful, mighty truths of God, all that he has done for us, all that we have in him, all that he is to us, and all that he can do in us and through us. And praise the Lord that your obedience and the way in which you flow and depend upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit will not only bless you, but it will bless your family, it will bless your descendants. And if you don't have children of your own, understand that God gives you spiritual children. He gives you those who will come under your influence. And to God, that's just as precious that you are discipling, playing your part in forming Christ in them as if they were natural children. So that's just as much a part and the purpose of God. You don't sort of miss out on that. You will have descendants, those that are in the kingdom because of you, those who become disciples because of your influence and so on. So just praise God. Thank you, Lord, that I'm in this, not just for myself, but that others around me are going to be blessed, others around me are going to meet with you, and even those that come after. Oh, yes, 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 their descendants are going to be blessed. Praise you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. What a mighty God you are. Thank you, Lord, that none of us is little independent islands, that we're living in unity with one another, that we're living in fellowship with one another. Thank you that today we flow together in the anointing, that together we pursue that course, that path that you have for us as those who belong to Kingdom Faith. Thank you, Lord, that all this was planned even before the creation of the world. Thank you that you're not making up a plan on the hoof. Thank you, Lord, that you're drawing us all into your best purposes. Thank you that coming into the feast was your purpose. Thank you, Lord, that living in the feast is your purpose. Thank you that trusting in the anointing is your purpose. Thank you, Lord, that expressing that love as we do so is your purpose. Thank you, Lord, that all the fruitfulness that you intend is your purpose. And thank you that you have stretched out ahead of us all the things that you have already planned, those good things that you have prepared for us to walk in. And thank you, Lord, that by your grace, through your mercy, in your love, we are going to walk into those good things. And we're going to see all those good things expressed in our lives. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We praise your mighty King. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have to know all that the future holds, but we can trust you that it will all unfold as we walk step by step in obedience to your will and purpose. And we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Jesus. Pura taparia leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sitri sandoma. O paparazataria leto bakala sitri sandoma. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you. Bless you, Lord. What a mighty God you are. Thank you that you are faithful, Lord. And thank you that as we seek to be faithful to you in fulfilling your plan and purpose in our lives, so we will bear much fruit for your glory. And that's what we want, Lord. We want to see you glorified. Glorified in each one of our lives. Glorified in our life together. Glorified in Kingdom Faith. Glorified in the nation. Glorified among the nations. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. The Lord will open heavenly riches to you to give you the seasonal rains you need and to bless all you do. You shall lend to many nations but will not need to borrow, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be on the top, not on the bottom, if you carefully obey the commands of the Lord your God that I give you today. Hallelujah. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be intimidated, for the Lord your God goes with you personally. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Oh, what a mighty God. Come on, let's just really just thank him as we finish this time together. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. We exalt you. Mighty, mighty Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, thank you that even in the mundane things today, you're going to be glorified. And we're just going to know that touch of your peace, touch of your presence, touch of your special upon our lives today. Bless your holy name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.